From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
San Jose.
19th Avenue, San Francisco.
San Mateo.
Sunnyvale.
Excelsior District of San Francisco.
Financial District.
Coming up, we'll hear from some of the first surfers to brave San Francisco waters.
We have rip currents. We have undertows. We have, 40-degree water. We have waves that are top to bottom, suck out.
Then we'll hear from the king of California's biggest wave.
Everything in your mind and your body is telling you not to go. You know, it's too steep, it's too big. And then at the perfect split second, you just know to just leap to your feet.
And we'll meet some local women who defy the surfer girl stereotype.
Like they're bikini clad jumping off of waterfalls. And I just wanted something more the reality of who we are here at Ocean Beach.
We're hitting the gnarly waves of our local surf breaks today on Cross Currents. San Francisco is famous for many things, but if you're looking for beaches, you probably think more of Southern California. And that means you might be missing out on the world-class waves that draw surfers to San Francisco's Ocean Beach.
The first time I stood up, well, that weekend I must have lost 15 pounds. I was in the water so much. And I also made a decision to make surfing my way of life.
Bill Hickey has been shaping surfboards since 1957.
Oh, did you just say surfboards?
I sure did. Hi, Ben.
Hey.
In case you don't know him already, this is Ben Trefney. He's the executive editor of Cross Currents, and more importantly, he's a big-time surfer.
Oh, I don't know about big-time, Holly, but I do get out there every chance I get.
Did you go surfing this morning?
I sure did, and it was fun.
Surfer Bill Hickey says that there's something almost unexplainable that draws him to the ocean. Let's see if you agree with Hickey.
When you step into the water, you're stepping into another reality, totally unique. Out there, there's no anger, there's no hatred, there's no jealousy, no greed, no envy. None of the negative emotions that exist in the world are out there unless you bring them out there with you.
Yeah, I totally get what he's saying. But if you've ever tried surfing or swimming or even just sticking your big toe in the whitewash at San Francisco's Ocean Beach...
I've done that.
You will find it is not for the thin-skinned.
Well, for one thing, the water is much colder here.
Surfing in the cold water, even in the summer. It was cold water.
People thought we were crazy going in this water. We'd all come out looking purple.
We would be out in the dead of winter at dawn. Cold. You know what a cold winter day is like? Foggy.
They can take the cold water.
Cold water. Yeah, along with Bill Hickey, we just heard from Al Peace, Bill Walkup, Johnny Valera, and Arnie Jinon Wong. They're some of the first to surf Ocean Beach. Back in the 40s and 50s, they braved the treacherous currents and bone-chilling waters without wetsuits to catch waves on everything from blow-up mattresses to 12-foot wooden planks.
Many of the original surfers have long since left Ocean Beach. Mortgages, jobs, and families replace the swells and surf wax. But once a year, they come back to pay tribute to the early days of surfing and that cold water. KLW's Angela Johnston brings us that story.
So right now, this board has gotten a little worn out. So I'm going to put a new coat on it.
In his backyard in San Francisco's Outer Richmond neighborhood, Arnie Jinon Wong is coating a pink and white striped 8-foot-long surfboard with a new type of clear surf wax his friend developed.
So he just made a couple cans, and I put one coat on my board, and it lasted like 6 months.
This board is one of dozens in Wong's quiver. They're all over his backyard, resting on fences next to tomato vines, suspended from the rafters of his garage. A few faded and yellowed boards are heaped in a pile he's donating to children in the Philippines.
Yeah, that one right there. That one's a 10-foot John Peck Maury Pope board. And that one was ridden in the contest in 1965, I think. And this is a tank. You can see the way it's glass and everything. It survived all those years.
Wong began surfing Ocean Beach when he was a teenager back in the 60s, at a break near the Cliff House and Seal Rocks. Locals call it Kelly's Cove. Some tell me the beach is named after Old Man Kelly, a hermit who used to swim back and forth to Seal Rocks every day in the 40s. Others say the name came from an old billboard for Kelly Tire Company, which hung on a cliff on the eastern side of the Great Highway. The break was originally bordered on the south by a pier that was part of Playland at the Beach, an old amusement park that ran along the shore.
On big days, we used to climb up on the pier and just jump off the end instead of having to paddle out. So that was like a fun way to get in the water.
Wong can still remember the feeling of standing up on his first real wave.
It was huge, and I would have never done it alone. It was our peer groups pushing each other, saying, are you a sissy? Are you going to do it? And we're all going, oh, God. And we'd all kind of push ourselves out and then go way beyond our comfort zone. And all of a sudden, you're riding this glass wall that's so smooth that it's like riding on glass. And it was amazing.
Wong says that during the 40s, 50s, and 60s, the edge of San Francisco felt different, wilder.
Where people came down to the beach in droves and played drums, and people hung on the wall, and there was always a fire at the beach. You would start by going down to the beach and build a fire.
There were no such things as wetsuits back then, Wong tells me. Just wool sweaters, brandy, and tire fires.
You basically couldn't stay out more than 45 minutes to an hour, and when you came in, you were just frozen. And a fire was the saving grace. We can psychologically say, no matter how cold it is, no matter how bad it is, there's a fire on the beach, and I can make it and get back to the beach, I'll be okay.
But Ocean Beach changed. In 1972, Playland at the Beach closed. Tire fires on the beach became illegal. Wong moved away.
I left San Francisco for about 35 years.
Eventually, Wong moved back to Ocean Beach and started surfing again. But something was missing.
And I went down to the beach and it was nobody there. And I couldn't figure out where anybody was. So I went down to the local surf shop and I posted a little picture of us at the beach.
He picked a time and a date and asked anyone who recognized that photo to meet at the Cove for a reunion. This was in 2003.
On that day, about 75 people showed up. But nobody recognized anybody because it had been so long that people lost their hair, they got fat, they aged. We had to put name tags on just to even recognize each other. I go, you're Joe? It was funny.
Hey, Zen Boogie!
Now the get-together has become a tradition. Every September, when the big fall and winter swells pick up, hundreds of surfers flock to Kelly's Cove and celebrate a culture they helped create. In recent years, the reunion has grown outside of Wong's group to include even earlier generations of Ocean Beach surfers.
Have you talked to this guy yet? This guy is the oldest surfer on the beach. He was the first guy here when no one was even at the beach.
I'll tell you all about it. My name is Al Peace. I'm 87 years old. And when I was surfing out here at Kelly's, there was no one surfing.
Peace got his start surfing back in the early 40s when he worked as a lifeguard at the 1,000-foot-long Flyshacker Pool on the Great Highway next to the zoo.
A kid that I had known from the beach, not surfing, came by one day and he says, how would you like to go surfing? I said, that would be great.
Peace's first board weighed 111 pounds, and he still takes it out from time to time.
I have a board that I donated to the San Clemente Museum. And all I'd have to do is go down there and I could easily get it out of the museum for a day and surf. And might do that this summer. I don't know. We'll see how things go.
Today, the surfboards are shorter and lighter. Wetsuits are warmer. And the culture has changed. The lineup at Kelly's Cove gets crowded on good days, and new laws have limited fires to 5 pits on Ocean Beach. That's where the old-timers light a fire in honor of surfers who have passed away. Men and women of all ages read names written on paper, then toss them into the flames.
Paul Chaffetz.
When the ceremony is over, the laughing and talking starts back up. Some guys who haven't surfed in years pull their wetsuits on again and grab their old longboards from the seawall. Arnie Jinom Wong begins to clean up, but takes a moment to tell me the gathering is about more than just a water sport.
Just remembering a time in the life when there was a sense of freedom and, you know, promise and hope, and that we were like pioneers of some radical surfing culture, you know.
This Northern California surfing culture is now world famous. Surfers from all over the world seek out waves from Bolinas to Santa Cruz. But this culture wouldn't have been able to survive if it wasn't for the daring few who first made the cold and foggy outer lands of San Francisco their home. At Ocean Beach, I'm Angela Johnston for Cross Currents.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan.
And I'm Ben Trefney.
Shaking Stone!
While most of the Bay Area's surfers catch their rides at Ocean Beach, many of the world's best big wave surfers get theirs about 20 miles south at a break called Mavericks.
Mavericks is off the coast of Pillar Point near Half Moon Bay, and it doesn't break all the time. Waves traveling across the Pacific roll over an underwater rock formation, and when conditions are just right and the swell gets real big, the waves appear. Sometimes they get more than 50 feet tall.
The first guy known to have surfed the break is Jeff Clark, who took it on as a teenager in the mid-1970s. He pretty much surfed it alone for 15 years.
Yeah, others started to try it in the 1990s, and in 99, big wave surfers from around the globe came together for the Mavericks Invitational Surf Competition.
This year's contest took place in January. A South African named Grant Baker was the winner.
Yeah, Grant goes by Twiggy usually, and he spends a good part of each winter right here at San Francisco's Ocean Beach.
When he's not traveling the world chasing the swells. And you caught up with him recently while he was still in town.
Yeah, that's right. I met up with him shortly after his Mavericks win at the home of another local big wave surfer, Ryan Seelbach. He was staying with him. And I asked Twiggy what he likes about surfing here in the Bay Area.
It's one of the best beach breaks in the world, you know, and it's a beautiful break when it's on fire. It can be as good as any other wave, but at the same time, it's challenging. And the way it peaks up, you know, the outer bars bring a perfectly groomed straight groundswell that's traveled from thousands of miles across the Pacific. And the outer bars break that up into these perfect A-frame peaks. And any surfer will tell you that that's what you look for in a beach break. You know, when I travel to a spot, I learn from the locals. I watch how they do it, and I try to immerse myself in what they're doing. And that's why I come to Ocean Beach and I train with those guys, because they're the best guys out at Mavericks, and there's a reason for that.
So you surf some of the biggest waves in the world. How many people would you say even are the surfers who take on something like a Mavericks, who would be invited or take on waves that are, say, you know, four or five, even more stories tall?
There's not that many of us, you know. I've got a saying where there's a lot of big wave surfers under a certain size, you know, under 40-foot faces. There's a lot of big wave surfers. But once the waves go 40 to 50-foot faces, there's a lot less, you know. There's maybe 50 guys. And once, you know, the waves go 50 to 60-foot faces, there's really only a few, you know, a handful, maybe 5 or 10 guys. It's that kind of sport that really, once you get to a certain level, the guys seem to drop out. But at the same time, there's a lot of youngsters coming up. I surfed Mavericks yesterday, and there was about three young guys from Half Moon Bay who really look like they've got the fire in their eyes and the talent to surf well out there. And you know, we're always trying to encourage those guys to come up, because out of those youngsters, there'll be one that is the next Jeff Clark, you know, the madman who surfed Mavericks for 15 years by himself. And, you know, Half Moon Bay obviously breeds that kind of character. So we really want the next generation to come to be local kids and to come and take over.
So can you tell me about the biggest day that you can remember at Mavericks that was surfable? What the feel is, so you're out there, you're in the lineup, and you're bobbing, and then you see it come in. Can you kind of take me slowly and describe it? Because it's something that, you know, not many people can picture.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's tough to describe. But basically, you see the sets on the outside, and you start to get butterflies in your stomach, you know, and it's still probably got a minute and a half to get to you, the swell, and you start to position yourself according to your triangulations on the shore, and then it becomes this big mental game to trust your triangulations, your markers, and to stay pretty much in a place where you know one of the most dangerous forces known to nature is going to rear up and break. Instead of, you know, your whole body is telling you to, and your mind is telling you to paddle out and get away from it, but you know, you have to trust your instincts and stay put. Finally, the wave starts to come, and each wave seems to pick someone out from the crowd. So if someone's a little bit in a different position to you, the wave will move to them and pick them out. And you know when a giant wave comes and it's picked you out. And you look at it, you wait, you make sure you're in the right position as it's kind of standing up and coming towards you. And then at the last second, you'll spin your board and to face the beach. And just put your head down and paddle, you know, and the whole bowl is just sucking up from underneath it, from underneath, and everything in your mind and your body is telling you not to go. You know, it's too steep, it's too big, it's, you know, and suddenly you just get that calm feeling when instinct takes over and the wave starts to pick you up, your speed builds while you're paddling, and then at the perfect split second you just know to just leap to your feet, steer your board over the edge, and the rest just goes past in a blur. You know, you're looking 2-3 feet in front of your nose at first as you drop down to make sure you negotiate all those bumps. As you hit the bottom, you look up quickly and you see where the wall is and what you have to do with your bottom turned. You have to draw it out slow and around the section, or can you jam it and up into the face of the wave to make it? And or, you know, the ultimate, can you set your line and get into the barrel, you know, and get covered up by the wave? And that all happens in just split seconds, and it's all just instinct. You're not thinking anything through. It's just all becomes muscle reaction. And before you know it, you're just in the channel, and you just have that feeling of elation and accomplishment that you've pushed your personal limits just that little bit further.
That's two-time Mavericks Invitational champion Grant Twiggy Baker talking with KALW's Ben Trefney. You can hear a longer version of that conversation at KALW.org. Just click on Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan.
And I'm Ben Trefney. Right now, the Mavericks Invitational is for men only, but several women have started riding that big wave off Half Moon Bay.
Yeah, more and more women are getting into surfing, but they're still the minority in the lineup.
There is no denying that the media has latched onto a stereotype of what it is to be a surfer girl.
Like they're bikini-clad jumping off of waterfalls, listening to, you know, like cool girly music.
That's filmmaker De La Soul, and she's directing a surf movie featuring many of the women who regularly surf Ocean Beach. It's called It Ain't Pretty.
And I just wanted something a little more edgy, you know, something more the reality of who we are here in Ocean Beach.
Recently, a group of big wave female surfers got together to talk about what they face in the water. Here's what a few of them had to say.
My name's Beth Price Jeffress. I am just 44, and I've been surfing Ocean Beach probably for 10, 12 years now.
My name's Bianca Valenti. I'm 28. I've been surfing for 21 years.
My name's Camila Fernandez. I've been surfing for about a year and a half.
My name is De La Soul, and I've been surfing my whole life since I was about 5.
My dad always said, you can do whatever guys do, if not better. So I've had confidence that way. But you have to extra prove yourself out there. I mean, I remember going out with you, too. We'd go out to Dead Man's, and we'd get heckled, and after a while, we just kept going and going and going. But we'd always sit at the rock.
Every now and again, you know, I'll get cut off, and I make up in my mind it's because I'm a woman. It may not be, but I've had those situations where men, until they can see that I surf, I kind of have to prove myself. Once I prove myself up in the lineup, they're more likely to give up a wave that I'm, you know, on.
You run into certain situations where maybe you feel like you're outnumbered because you are, but then there's also a lot of situations where being outnumbered is an advantage.
Here, you're more likely to get called into a wave than pushed off of a wave.
It would take a pretty unique individual to start a fight with a woman, but you will see fights amongst the men. So that's advantageous. And, you know, I just find that a smile goes a long way. So I try to keep it friendly.
I feel like when you do gain respect from them, you gain ultimate respect. Like, wow, that's a girl that's able to do that. I mean, you go travel around the world and surf, and I might not be surfing pretty, but, you know, guys are, it's big days out, and they wonder where, you know, where do you surf? Where are you from? And you'll tell them, and now they're like, oh, wow, and you kind of get a little kudos for surfing Ocean Beach.
And Susie paddled over to me and was like, dude, where'd you get that wetsuit?
They have women-specific gear now, finally. I mean, we would be surfing literally in men's wetsuits that were kind of dragging down in your legs. They were ill-fitted.
Pulling up with water.
Yeah. No butt. And there's more.
Yeah. I think equipment is a really important one for the women, and that our equipment is going to be different from the men's because we don't have as strong of upper bodies. And so,
I think in general in the last 10 to 15 years, surfing has progressed immensely and gotten popular, where it's like tripled in population of how many surfers. So that has made a big difference. And I have seen a lot more women having surfed out here. But again, until I started this project, I didn't know any of them.
Well, I guess I never consider us as a group of women that surf. We just contact each other. You know, we all will text each other right before we go out. I always surf better when I'm with them, actually. They make me just feel calmer, and yeah, I'm very happy to be surfing with another woman.
You know, we all kind of like a little bit want to be the only woman out there ripping, but when we are together, there is kind of a cheerleading squad of, you know, and supporting each other as we take off.
Those are just a few of the women who are featured in the surf film It Ain't Pretty, about women who charge at Ocean Beach. The project is just getting started. You'll find a link to more information at klw.org. Just click on Cross Currents. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan.
And I'm Ben Trefney.
And now it's time for another installment of Segment X, extras from the KLW News Team. X.
This is where our reporters get to unwind their headphones a little bit and share something fun with you.
And this week it comes from our managing editor and fellow surfer, Martina Castro.
First, I want to say that we don't like to feed stereotypes here at Cross Currents. But when it comes to surfers, there's a way that they generally talk. And there are definitely words that only surfers use.
I don't know. I love the term kegged, you know? I'd be like, dude, I dropped in and stalled, stuck my hand in the wave, and just got totally kegged.
That's Dave Humphreys, the most obsessed Ocean Beach surfer dude that I know. And he happens to be my boyfriend. I asked for his help to test my colleagues on their surfer lingo. So here we go.
Wipeout. Number one, grom.
What is a grom?
Grom.
Grom, like a grommet.
I think that's bad. A grom is a very dirty, salty surfer with sand deep in their hair.
It's a unit of measurement. Can I please have a gram of sugar because I need it in my coffee?
A gram is a younger, sir, a little kid surfer. Probably teens or younger. Number two, lefts.
Lefts. What does lefts mean?
I think a surfer would yell left if they're coming at you from your left side and you need to watch out.
It's clear. Left is always in reference to the shore. I'm looking at the shore. That's left. It's just known.
Yeah.
That's actually right.
So lefts means the direction that the wave's going to break from the surfer's perspective. So if you're sitting at the beach, it might look like a right, but for surfers, you drop in and you go left.
That was a total guess.
Number three, hang 10.
Oh, that's a thing that you always hear. And I'm like, yeah.
I think I know. No, I actually think I know.
Hang 10. We know that one. Everybody knows that.
Oh, hang 10. Hang 10. We've all heard hang 10. And I don't know what it means.
Is it when...
So hang 10 is where you're
hanging all 10 of your toes.
Have all 10 of your toes.
Off the side of the board.
Hanging off the edge of the board.
Totally. Hang 10, dude. Let's go hang 10.
Hang 10, dude. Stand there and chill in glory.
Is that the only one I got right? I'm a grom. I'm gromming right now.
Ooh, stumpers, Holly. You were close. Anyway, if you are interested in hearing more of Segment X, we will soon be podcasting it. But for now, you can hear it on the Cross Currents podcast, which you can find at kalw.org.
And that's it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News.
Our team includes Jen Sheehan,
dude.
Audrey Dilling,
dude.
Nina Gensler-Debs,
dude.
Lila Day,
dude.
Ashley Ann Krigbaum,
dude.
Liz Mack,
dude.
Mary Reese,
dude.
Seth Samuel,
dude.
Judy Silber,
dude.
And Rachel Wong.
Dude.
Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff.
Yeah.
Our managing editor is Martina Castro.
Dude.
Ben Trefney is our executive editor.
Dude.
And he's my co-host. And because of your support, we can proudly say what, Ben? We are listeners.
Supported
radio. Public radio.
The band you're hearing is Papercuts.
Wednesday, the Bay Area group appears at the 22nd annual Noise Pop Festival at the Chapel in San Francisco starting at 7 p.m. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.
And I'm Ben Trefney.